This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hi, this is the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad. We in here eating chicken. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
This some good ass chicken, huh?
Is it good?
Is it?
It's really good. In the conversation.
For the In The Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy East Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah! We are back. This is In The Conversation. I'm Damian Lemon, one of your hosts. And as always, on my right-hand side, I got...
El Capitan Vladimir Camaño.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Then he's building. Or on my left-hand side.
You got Ali Muhammad, the voice of your choice. It's summertime in this.
Summertime, huh? Summertime.
Summer of love.
Summer of love,
that's where y'all going with it, huh?
Summer of love, man.
Summer of love, huh?
Yeah, man. That's what I'm going with.
I hear that.
Can't beat them, join them, man.
I could dig that.
You know what I'm saying? I gave in. You know what I'm saying?
You gave in to love.
Gave in to love and found out it was a more enjoyable moment.
Ali and I, Damian, we had a great conversation earlier today regarding this very topic. And,
okay.
I got to give the brother a shout out. All
right, back, because he's looking like, well, how much of this conversation are you going to tell?
Yeah, we was on an ultra light beam, you know what I mean?
Ultra light beam, is that what y'all call the new conversations?
The reason I leave the voice of your choice, man, is that brother is a wealth of just grown man information. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And the brother, you know, I was dealing with a little dilemma here, and I gave him a call, and he gave me some excellent guidance.
All right. That's what's up. You want to talk about what you talked to about?
Not yet.
All right.
Not per se, but you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, man, you just, when you're out here in these streets and you're out here getting grown and shit, you can't be scared of how you feel out here, man. You can't be scared of living your truth. That's all. That was the word for the day, man.
I hear that.
Live in it, man.
Live in the truth.
Embracing it. Guys, ain't nothing more powerful than that.
I hear that.
For better or worse.
Yeah, you can't, you know what I'm saying? Nobody can't blame you for your truth, man. You can't lose with it.
There it is. Well, the truth is, this is our 100th episode.
100! Yeah.
Doing this shit. 100!
The dove!
100 episodes of In The Conversation. This is the 100th one.
The hundo.
All of them was free.
All of them was worth something.
So far. Not alive. Well, we're going to get at to the people, too, I believe. I don't know what's going on.
All right.
I don't know what's going on. We got the legal team here looking at us crazy. No, we'll talk in a second.
All right,
but it's 100 episodes. First of all, I just want to thank everybody that's been listening since the beginning, or listening since 61, or listening since 84, or listening since 92. The last one. Thanks for listening. Deadass, it's been a journey. It's been a good time.
A good ass time.
And sometimes when you go on a journey like this, sometimes you're so busy looking forward, you forget to look back a little bit. Huh?
Oh shit!
Philosophical deep. Nah, I'm just trying to be where y'all at. Where y'all talking about the truth ain't nothing but the truth and the truth root. I want to know, Vlad, what's your favorite moment from these 100 episodes?
I'll say this honestly, man. You know, D, I love speaking from the heart. I'm real big on creating tender moments that create discomfort. I would say the most memorable moment for me was to be honest, man, it was when we did the live podcast last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that only because we actually got to engage with people in the venue, and I saw how much our stuff was hitting because we typically have it, you know, it's recorded. We can't see how people are engaging with it.
Mm-hmm.
So to watch that happen in the room with the three of us together, it just reaffirmed for me, man, that, you know, we got something special and, you know, our connection is real. And you know, when people listen to it, man, they you know, they're having a great time. They're engaged.
All right. I hear that. So you going with last week as your most. This nigga went with the most recent shit. I'm gonna keep it real. You know, I like to speak from the heart. So I'm gonna go right. Last week was the shit I remember. Nah, I'm fucking with you, man. Nah, that's your moment, man. That's cool, man.
Y'all cold as ice.
Nah, we ain't chilling, man. Ali, what? Tell me a moment.
I have a bunch of moments. You know what I'm saying? I would like to. You know what I'm saying? I like the 12 years of podcast. I like the Mac 10. What really, I got just a thing, you
right.
know what I'm saying, as opposed to a moment. You know what I'm saying? The thing, like a lot of this shit what we be talking about, especially when I tell them long ass stories that I force everybody to listen to, I don't usually be talking to people like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so a lot of these stories haven't even been released out of my brain, you know what I'm saying, in years.
Limited editions,
you know what I'm saying? So just to come into the podcast not even really knowing how podcasts work or how, you know what I'm saying, how I would fit into a podcast to get to a point where you telling real stories and then you can see how people are affected by them or they relating to them, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when somebody shouts you out, you know what I mean, 6 months later about a story you told and saying how, you know, how it affected their way of thinking, you know what I'm saying? That's important to me. So, you know what I'm saying? Shouts out to the people that's listening and, you know, that, you know, listen to my long stories. Cause my wife don't like to listen to my long stories. She's like, all right, get to the point. She wants you to fast forward. All right, man. Fast forward that to the end. So, you know what I'm saying? So that, I mean, I out of the 100 episodes, the growth of being able to go from, you know what I'm saying, just talking surfacely to being able to express yourself in your stories is the biggest thing.
I hear that. All right. Cool. I with it. Listen, I asked this question to y'all kind of last minute, but I'm kind of on the same thing. There's no one moment. I do feel like there's like Mac 10 bag was fun. Put the Lord on the phone was fun. There's certain, as you go through them,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Bev episode was cool. That was a great episode, great kickoff guest episodes. You know, we had a few. We had some good times. I just like those episodes where we came away from the table like, okay, that was the one. That shit felt like it's going to resonate. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I tell you one moment that, speaking to what Vlad said, when you don't, you know, and speaking to what Ali said, because, you know, we looking at each other, but we talking to y'all, but we don't really know all of you. We just hope that you on the other side of this listening to what we saying. And there's moments where you realize, oh, okay, they really fucking with us. They listen to us. When we did the episode, we all talked about our favorite sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
The way that shit resonated in the world, like, we got nothing but, yo, I'm going to tell you another thing I like on my sandwich. Like, people was hitting me 3-4 times in a row. Okay, I left out this sandwich. This is a great sandwich. The fact that y'all were that excited about sandwiches.
But they was excited about Hamburger Helper, too.
They was excited about Hamburger Helper, too. They was excited about a lot of shit. And now we thrive off of that. You know what I mean? When y'all hit us up, when y'all engage, when y'all hit us on the Twitter, y'all hit us on the SoundCloud. When y'all, you know, when y'all jump in the conversation, because that's what the conversation was built for all of us, you know what I mean? So, you know, as we always say, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And this sounds crazy to say, though, D, but
go ahead.
I'm not saying this lightly. The word in the conversation, what that means, you know, Damien, you and I had a conversation about that a while ago about at a career level.
Right.
How important that phrase is. You know, I know we talk about current events and topics, but you know, as I've progressed in my career, I've realized how important that term is, because, like, half of your success is just being in the conversation, people talking about you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I literally have the podcast image on my desktop because it reminds myself, like, you got to stay in the conversation, man. As long as people talk about you, you know, you're going to get work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Once you get in the conversation, you just want to stay there. And then you steer it. You know what I mean? You steer it to your benefit. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
It's a funny shit, though. One moment when Vlad came back from Canada.
Uh-huh.
Well, wherever he went, he was horse shaming in the massage parlor.
Oh, Hawaii.
He was in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And he came back. That's where he became the shy guy, that era.
Right.
I'm
right.
shy.
was I in horse shaming, was I?
Yeah, you was in Canada, you was horse shaming in the massage parlor.
No, I was just alluding to the fact that I don't like that.
I know. And then you shamed the lady.
I did not shame her.
How dare you?
How dare you dirty palms?
Oh, man. What else is going on? What's popping with y'all?
Man, shit. I kicked off.
I'm out here in Los Angeles, man.
Yeah?
Los Angeles, I'm hosting this event tonight for the Psychological Trauma Center.
Oh, shit.
35th anniversary. Very excited. Denzel was one of the guests.
Denzel?
Yeah, and he backed out last minute, man.
Ah. So now you the host?
No.
You filling in for Denzel?
Ah, shit.
No.
That's what you got to tell him.
No. Denzel's one of the, he's one of the supporters of the organization.
Oh, okay. That's what's up.
But, you know, Denzel is probably one of the only guys that if I ever meet, dude, I'm literally going to get goosebumps.
Okay.
That's weird.
Why you going to get goosebumps?
I'm such a fan of that dude, man. I'm a fan of Denzel, dog.
Okay.
You know, some of those things, that cat, man, I don't think there's a movie that I've seen with him that I could say is whack. Even if it's whack, his performance makes it bearable for me.
They got a podcast called Denzel Washington is the Greatest Actor of All Time. You should check it out.
You know, my homegirl put me on to it. My homegirl, Sydney.
Right.
Put me on to it, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We'll be on there at one point, at some point, talking about it. Yeah, I don't know. What's your favorite Denzel movie, though? I got to figure that out. I was just watching Equalizer the other, just like 2 days ago, which is like old man Denzel, which is still cool. But if you had to pick one of your favorite, what's your favorite Denzel movie? What would be?
You know, let's talk about it real quick. Because for me, it's a conversation between, I love his performance in John Q.
I got to watch that shit again. I remember the situation. I got to watch this before. But yeah, John Q, you said you cried?
He had me crying in that one, man.
All right.
Mo Better Blues.
Mo Better Blues was a good look.
And then if I had to name a third one, I would probably say he did an excellent job in Malcolm X.
Yeah, he killed that.
No, definitely Malcolm X. I put Devil in a Blue Dress in there. But that was really my favorite Don Cheadle joint.
I don't think I've ever seen Devil in the Blue Dress.
Oh, that shit crazy. That's what Don Cheadle showed out in that
joint. Just saw Miles Ahead with Don Cheadle. He killed that shit, too.
Yeah, I got to see that. I got to see that.
But I don't think I've seen the whole shit of Devil in the Blue Dress. Go ahead, keep going.
No, Malcolm X, Devil in the Blue Dress, of course, Mo Better, but... I like Training Day, even though he got the Oscar. I thought he did.
He killed that shit.
Job in that shit.
He killed that shit.
My nigga.
That's when Denzel was full Denzel. Like, nah, I can't say that because he's been full Denzel a lot of shit. But I feel like since then, he's kind of been doing like an homage to Denzel. Like, there's not too many of his movies that he doesn't do to my nigga. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like my man that goes, she. Like after a while, it's just putting it. It becomes a drop,
right?
But Training Day was bananas.
Yeah, yeah.
Training Day,
he played a wide spectrum of things in Training Day.
He killed that shit. He killed that. I'm trying to think of some off the bat. Obviously, everybody like Malcolm X. I liked him, and he got game. I liked him and he got game, right? You know what I mean? One. Playing the pops out of prison and shit. You know what I mean? That was the first sighting of Pops Denzel.
Uncle Denzel.
Uncle Denzel when he came out. You know, that was a good one. And then what's some other Denzel shit that's like
with Glory?
I don't think I seen Glory, to be totally honest with you. As much as everybody talk about that one single tear and all of that shit.
All of that.
Nah,
hilarious.
Bring his whole performance down to that, all of that shit.
No, I mean, I'm not saying all. I'm just saying it's a lot of Glory's. What's Glory? Is Glory is another, not a slave movie? Is Glory a slave? Because Glory gets put in the slave movie. It's like one of the movies that
slavish. She was getting whooped.
It's a little slavish. When I get those type of, that's why I haven't seen Hotel Rwanda. Certain movies where them shits look like they too depressing, I don't turn to them. Like Roots just premiered. You know, Roots came out. We're gonna talk about that in a second. But if I had to give you one last one, I'm gonna go with a fucking what's the shit name with John Lithgow. Was it The Mighty Quinn when he was with John Lithgow?
No,
What's this? It's not Mighty Quinn. It's
Is that Ricochet?
Ricochet. I'm going to put Ricochet on there. That might have been the first Denzel movie where I was like, yo, this cat is ill, before I even knew who he was, really. I was like, oh, that was like one of the first movies where I said, as a person, this is a good movie.
you know, when you start
to develop your own taste and shit? You're like, I like this movie. Ricochet was one of those movies. Shout out to that.
You know what I did like? I did like Inside Man.
I did. I like that too.
Yeah, it was a good movie, man. That was a good. They were supposed to be making a sequel, I thought.
That was a good one. It was just a little subdued to put him atop, you know what I'm saying, 3.
Yeah.
But I like that movie.
Yeah.
Shout out to Uncle Spike.
Yeah.
Damien, did you say that?
We will meet again.
Wait, hold on. Chris about to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going
to
say, you guys didn't mention Training Day.
No, we did.
Oh, did you say it? I'm sorry.
I was over there sleep at the wheel. God,
that's what I said. You guys mentioned Training Day.
Oh, man.
Oh, Chris,
Damien.
Sleep at the wheel back there.
Shit, look at
Damien.
This. Yeah, I'm here.
I want to pick your brain on something. I think I've heard that sentiment from several people.
What's that?
You said Glory was a little slavish.
I never seen Glory, so I just put it in, like I said, I put it in the miscellaneous slave bin because that's the energy I've gotten. I believe is it about war or is it about, what's the, about Civil War? Like, what? Okay, see.
It's slavish.
It's slavish. Okay, so go ahead. What was the question?
Well, no, I've heard the sentiment from my other minority friends.
Black friends or minority friends?
Both.
Okay.
You know, black friends, but it's one of those things where like, where they feel like black suffering has become like marketable.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And there's some of them, you know, I've heard the same sentiment, like, oh, what's it about? Is it about a slave? and I go, yeah, they just feel like because it's doing well that Hollywood keeps pumping out these films.
Is this a friend or is this you?
We had this conversation on the podcast. You got to brought that sentiment to the table, Vlad. Are you using a friend as a ruse for your own opinions? This is documented.
My so-called friend.
We've talked about this on the podcast.
All right, man, it's tough, man. It's a lot.
This motherfucker.
He's minority friends.
Yo, between you and Chris not listening to the podcast, man, I don't know if we're going to do another 100 episodes. This is some other shit here.
Oh, we're going to do another 100.
I had a conversation with some minority friends of mine. We were talking about...
It was a round table.
No, we had a conversation like that. It might not have been the only kind, but we definitely had one on record.
Okay.
Yeah, what was it called? 12 Years of Podcast.
12 Years of Podcast.
We talked about that.
Yes.
That was one of my top ones.
But back to the point. Yeah, I mean, it's just cliche. It's easy to do. It's easy to do a slave movie. Like, and then they brought Roots back.
Right.
And they brought Roots back at the worst time. You can't bring Roots back game 7 of the motherfucking West Coast championships. Game 7, you got fucking... You don't want to see niggas, like, oppressed when you can see brothers flourishing.
Yeah. Splash.
You know what I mean? Like, I need to see that. I can't... Nah, I ain't got no time for all that other shit. I don't know how Roots did. I don't think it did that well in the ratings. Not against Clay, Steph, Durant, and Russell.
Yeah, man.
Kente ain't have a shot.
But, you know, I think it's a miniseries, cool. So it's, you know what I'm saying? It's not just the one episode.
No, I know.
They're going to take it all the way out. But, you know what I'm saying? You know, like you said, we talked about this. You know what I'm saying? We did the War for Savagery. You know what I'm saying? We did 12 Years of Podcast. It's been documented that, you know, it is marketable. You know what I'm saying? I've seen a conversation about it. You know what I'm saying? Some people saying they're not going to watch Roots because they're tired of seeing black suffrage. And then there was a flip side of somebody was saying that, you know, well, there's been hundreds of Holocaust movies. You know what I'm saying? Hundreds of them. So
has there been hundreds of Holocaust?
Yeah, they have a top 100 Holocaust movies.
Well, I got to see this list.
You know what I'm saying?
I got to see this.
But at the end of it, though, the only problem is, you know, at the end of the, you know, Holocaust movie, there is some light. You know what I'm saying?
It's like
they could go and get their own land and flourish.
It's a bunch of Woody Allen movies afterward.
You know what I'm saying? And Seinfeld,
Manhattan. You know what I'm saying? Hannah and the Sisters.
After our slave movie, you just whooped up dead. You ride off on your one horse.
Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? It's like shit. You still don't get the win. I want to see what this Nat Turner movie though. You know, I might get some winning, yeah, some wins in the column.
Look, I'm not mad at a, like, I understand it. I understand it from the fact that you want to protect the legacy and make sure that people don't forget about that or whatever. And I understand that. And I, you know, obviously the slave movie, they've been doing fairly well. So that's just Hollywood business. There are some black movies. We just need some more. You know what I mean? Like,
but at the same time, these are black movies that give black actors jobs.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, shit. That's one of the biggest fucking, like, shit. The slave movie, that's a good question. Because I got a couple questions. Well, that's a good thing. I got a question to ask both of y'all. That was a question I had for myself back in the day. What would you do first? A slave movie or a chicken commercial? Same check. Slave movie.
What kind of chicken?
What's your favorite type of chicken? Popeyes? Who you got?
Doing Popeyes or Roscoe's?
Oh, first of all, it's fried chicken. It's no grilled. It's no
Roscoe's or Popeyes.
It's the same check. It's from a white corporation. It's going to be on television. This is the
thing. Is it a national commercial?
I'm going to
do the slave. I'm going to do the slave movie.
You go with the slave movie before the chicken commercial?
Slave movie before the chicken commercial.
Vlad, what are you doing? The chicken commercial or a slave movie?
I'm doing slave movie.
You got to be the Then y'all gotta be the house slave though. The house nigga.
Hey, you know, it's part of
so
the story.
So why, let me ask you this
part
though.
Part of the story.
Why? Because I feel like we create some of these prisons ourselves. Why can a black man not publicly proclaim his love for chicken? Because this
we publicly proclaim it every day.
Why can't you?
But we're not going to commodify it by jumping on the white man's commercial.
See, but this is the thing.
Eating the chicken.
I had to ask myself that. I could say for the calendar year 2016, I'm not going to be in a chicken commercial. I could say that safely. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I was thinking, it was times when I was fucked up, when I was hurt up, you know what I mean? And I said, imagine if my manager said, listen, man, we got $50,000. All you need to do, you got to take a bite out of this chicken, look dead in the camera, smile real big, and say, this is some good-ass chicken.
Hey.
Nah, man.
You got to say, this is not even good at this is some great chicken.
Hey,
no, sir.
But why?
Hey, my man.
Why? Where does that come from? What's the anthropology? What is the anthropology? Like, where does that come from? Because what I know that chicken has been correlated to people with lesser means as a travel food, especially like the drumstick. But how did it get pinned? Like chicken, grape soda, Kool-Aid. How did certain shit get pinned on black people? Like, where did this shit happen? Where does it trace back to the where it's pinned on us to the point that we in our own prison?
We probably invented that fried everything thing.
Fried everything what?
Culinary desires.
Oh, you mean we started the fry?
I don't know, but you know what I'm saying? I just know it's been part of our diet. For a minute.
Seinfeld could do a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial. I was going to say if he did a Popeyes, that would raise some flags. But if he did a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial, because that's still looked at as a little bit more traditional and more mainstream, nobody would blink an eye.
No, but if you
Chris
do
Rock,
it,
Chris,
it's going to be, when Mary did the Burger King chicken.
And that's what kind of prompted the thing, but like, where does that fucking come from?
The downfall of MC Hammer was his Kentucky Fried Chicken ad. When he did a Kentucky Fried Chicken ad and he flew up in the air with the goddamn
parachute. There was a few things going on with
that.
It.
Was the last. After
you
that,
feel like that was
after
it?
That, it was
I don't even remember that, but I got to look at that.
That go look
Ali,
at
Ali,
it.
Ali, hold on, Ali. Did you just identify the tipping point?
That was the tipping point. When he did the Kentucky Fried Chicken
for
commercial.
MC Hammer.
Really?
And flew up in the air with the parachute pants like he was flying with the pants. It was over. Like the whole community was like, oh, hell no. Nah.
But where did that come from?
Because they already had pinned it on us, you know what I'm saying? It's a self-hate thing. They already pinned niggas like chicken and watermelon. So we, you know what I'm saying? We take on that And when we take on what everybody else is looking at us and we thinking what they thinking, they thinking.
Which is the fucking opposite of freedom.
Exactly.
Which so, is fucked so up. Is we oppress
400
ourselves.
More years of slavery. Damn. But it ain't just us because, you know, what can, everybody got something to say.
What can a white guy do on television where they would fucking oppress their forefathers?
They don't have, they don't really have the freedom to you know, be like.
Be oppressed?
To
they don't have the freedom to be oppressed?
You know, where they, you know, they get chastised for wearing, you know, blackish or cultural things. They do it, but they, you know, sometimes they get drugged for it. Yeah. You're not free to just, you know what I'm saying?
To do anything?
To wear the do-rag?
Is there no such thing as freedom?
Depending on your
freedom at any cost. It's got, I guess there's a cost.
Freedom ain't free. All right. You're going to have detractors. So even if you're free as fuck, you're going to have detractors.
Yeah.
Well, there's, you know, Damon, I just, two things. One is I just picture her like a hilarious, like hostage, not hostage, but like terrorist situation where they go, listen, man, I'm a kidnap your daughter if you don't do this chicken commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do it if they had your daughter? Like, but you got to go on the air and go, this is some good ass chicken.
They had my daughter. Well, I don't have a kid, so it's very hard for me to stretch my imagination.
I mean, that's real hard. I mean, that's extreme.
It's all extreme. 50, I mean, yeah, it's extreme. I mean, that's a lot. Your daughter's tied up in a Brooklyn basement. You need to do this fucking church's chicken commercial.
I got a man who owned a restaurant that specialized in fried chicken.
And he don't advertise his own chicken?
And the New York Times came to interview him.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came to do the photography...
Put a white man in.
No. His partner's a white guy. You know what I'm saying? But it's him. But they asked them to bite into the chicken for the picture. Uh-huh. And he was like, oh, hell no. And it's his own joint. It's his own restaurant. He's like, oh, hell no. Like, hell no. Oh,
man.
It's his restaurant.
How much would it take for you to do a chicken commercial? Let us know in the fucking comments. It only run for 6 months, but it is national. That shit will be all during the finals and everything. They're going to tell you. And it's going to be more than one or two takes. They're going to say, hey, we need you to smile a little brighter and bite a little harder.
Show some teeth.
Show some teeth.
Show the white of your eyes.
Let them know that this is some good chicken. $250,000.
Oh my god! I love that conversation. Can you pose taking the bites? Oh hell no!
Hell no!
I just really want to know if we have any anthropologists that listen to it. I know a couple of anthropologists, but if we have any that listen to it, could you please tell us when did fried chicken, watermelon, grape drink? Grape soda. When did this shit become synonymous with black people? When did this become like a, you know what I mean? Like, when did this become attached to the black identity? When did this happen and how did this happen? I just want to know, for real. I just want to get to the bottom of that type of shit. You know, fuck it. Anyway.
It's hilarious.
I'm dead ass. I'm curious about this type of shit, you know.
Hey, like, Damien.
Yeah, yes. I'm here.
It sounds to me like you're trying to research this because does it upset you that you can't do a commercial with some fried chicken?
I just feel like this is my thing. I think that sometimes I think we as black people perpetuate our own, like we keep our own prisons up, especially when we don't even know. Like, I can understand if that's the thing. Like, I can understand if it dates back to something. That's why it's so important to know the history or whatever, you know, and we take advantage of our own narrative. It's like, you know, as a black man, you know, you can't do that shit.
Well, but
why?
But because, you know what I'm saying? It's like this, man. You know, and it goes beyond just chicken and watermelon and collard greens. You know what I'm saying? It was certain.
You added collard greens to the forbidden list now?
Listen, man, I'm just saying shit.
Whole Foods say collard greens is a new kale.
I know, but I'm just saying things that were associated with black people. There's a lot of things they switch out as when it's convenient.
You see how they could do it.
You know what I'm saying?
But go ahead.
But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? There was certain things that was at a certain point in this country, damn near illegal for you to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like just being black was a hard motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, if you have a choice, you know what I'm saying? Do you want to be associated with this or do you want to be associated with that? Most people are going to choose the side that's easiest.
Respectability.
Respectability. Some people come from this country, be black as, you know what I'm saying, all midnight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And will associate more white because that's an easier route.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In theory. You understand? So in this country, certain things just, they make it hard for you as a, you know what I'm saying? So if you, certain people try to shake off everything they can that's associated with the lowest end. You know what I mean? So as you further progress, you try to assimilate more into mainstream society to make life easier. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, when it comes down to the food, I mean, even down to the food part of it, you know what I'm saying? Nobody really want to be, ah, oh, look at that old chicken eating ass. Who wants that ridicule? Even though you love it, you over there enjoying it. When you amongst your people and it's just your people, you know what I'm saying? You bringing the fried chicken with you.
Can you take a bite out of a Subway sandwich on TV?
I mean, shit, that has no connotation to it. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Subway sandwich has no connotation. America is based on connotation.
Well, who started the connotation? That's
the motherfuckers with the whips.
Oh, man, I don't know, man. I want to know what date, who had the whip and who was like, listen, niggas and chicken, I mean,
certain,
forever.
There's certain foods we had to eat because that's what was available to us.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? We made it and we did it up and we made it good. You know what I'm saying? White people like fried chicken too.
I know, and they like can show their enthusiasm.
We show it
unheralded.
We might not want to show it on TV as a commercial and commodify your love of the greasy chicken.
But could there be somebody to break that color barrier? I don't know if I want to take the slander, but maybe there's a guy.
Maybe it's a bridge, like Drake.
Maybe
Drake take one for the team.
The light-skinned guy go first?
The light-skinned guy go first, halfway Jewish, hilarious. Halfway, you know what
hilarious.
What I'm this chicken is stupendous.
Hold on, we got
stupendous.
Go ahead.
I was going to jump in because you brought up Chris Rock before. Like, could Chris Rock do it? They're doing the thing with KFC where they got comics playing Colonel Sanders. You don't think it could work as Chris Rock playing Colonel Sanders, like doing those KFC?
It depends. Don't bite the chicken. See now, if he bite the chicken, could Chris Rock play Colonel Sanders?
Dave Chappelle could.
Why? Now why?
Because he's known for crossing all the barriers and smashing all of the.
So, but let me ask you this. So he's known, basically, he's known for the creative freedom that he has created for himself.
Which also became his prison.
Which arguably right. became his prison, right?
Right.
But because that's my thing, it's like you gotta assert your freedom on every level. On every level,
you really?
Yeah, if you black, you know what I mean. Like, I think if you're a person of color, freedom is not always a default. There's always some concession to be made sometimes, like, well, I mean, I could do that, but then if I do that, then, you know, the people.
But that's in career. I think in life, you could do your freedom all the way. It's people who are going to eat chicken. I don't care where they at, how they, I don't care who looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just not going to do it on TV.
I'm just saying, I want
to
know.
Not that I'm an actor, not that I'm even going out trying to rock for no damn
chicken rolls. I just want to know how that became what it became.
Cool.
How certain shit. That's why I did a reach out to our anthropological
community.
Yeah, but, let us
hopefully
know.
Hopefully we get your answer for you, bro.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Listen.
Until well, you know.
listen, man.
I remember in college, I forgot what class it was, but I remember in college, there was a philosophy class I took. And I forget, this is me, I probably make some mistakes here, but there's two kinds of freedom. Remember they said there was freedom from and freedom to?
Mm-hmm.
And freedom from, I think it was what you're talking about, Damien, is the freedom from external restraints. So in other words, you want the freedom to act despite the external restraints, which is that as a black man, you cannot do this chicken commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that as a form of not having freedom?
I just feel like it's just an arbitrary line. It's an arbitrary limitation that we have assumed, and it's arbitrary in the way that's why I'm trying to figure out, well, why? What's the reason? If I knew the reason,
if there was an actual story that kind of made sense, it was like, oh, okay, I could dig it. I understand how that spun off. At least it would give it some context. I just feel like that shit is just very arbitrary in the way of they. You know what I mean? They don't want you. That type of thing. You know what I mean? How ambiguous that is. I'm just curious. It's curiosity. Right. It's not my pursuit to do a chicken commercial. I'm just using that as the barometer.
Right.
You know what I mean? But go ahead. You said freedom of, and what's freedom to? What is freedom to?
Freedom to, if I remember correctly, it's called positive freedom. And it's the freedom to act on your own volition. So basically, you control and you like move in your own way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Regardless of what the external restraints are. So you act instead of being acted upon.
So? I mean,
so you have the freedom to. But then there's also the freedom from. You have the freedom from doing a chicken commercial.
That seems like semantics with the freedom. I see what it is. It's like a weird free. I just want overall every freedom. Let's get the whole freedom.
Even if you had ultimate freedom, you still put yourself in certain places where you're not going to do everything you can do.
Of course not.
You ain't got enough time.
So you ain't got enough time, and some shit you just don't want to do.
Exactly. You're going to pick some shit you want to do and some shit you don't.
But there's that. Because you don't want to do it. Not because you know you can't do that.
But
it's like, but why?
If Snoop Dogg owned Roscoe's,
uh-huh.
If he buys Roscoe's, right. And you know what I'm saying, they do a commercial, uh-huh. You wouldn't be in it?
Depends
for Roscoe's?
It depends on what we doing.
I'll do a Roscoe's commercial.
See, now you using loopholes.
I told you Roscoe's.
You said, I'm saying, but I mean, but why Roscoe's instead of...
Because Snoop Dogg owns it.
Because that's if Snoop owned it, because I think some white folks own Roscoe's.
Right, but if Snoop owned it.
Okay. But it's still chicken.
That don't matter. I'll do a Harold's.
You'll bite into the chicken? Will you bite into the chicken?
I'm being at the table, you know what I'm saying? Eat my chicken.
Because there was that moment, speaking of
chicken
Snoop,
and waffle?
Speaking of Chris Rock and chicken, it was that moment at the BET Awards a couple years ago where he handed out Roscoe's chicken.
Right.
And motherfuckers was, it was a couple people that was just saying, fuck it, they was greasing. They was eating chicken on camera. And I think I hit you, would you have eaten that chicken?
Yeah.
Or you have waited till they said, and cut, we're going to commercial. Would you have ate that chicken?
Yeah, put it under your seat.
Then you got to wait till the chicken get cold. And you know you don't want to eat cold chicken, not cold chicken from Roscoe's. You want that first crispy bite. Oh, man.
That is hilarious.
There is a brave young black soul somewhere learning the craft, learning how to become a better actor, learning, you know, just putting the tools together. One day we'll be afforded the opportunity to be in a chicken commercial and convincingly portray the true joy that is biting into that first bite of fried chicken.
Maybe I should shoot a fried chicken piece for Thorough TV.
You should.
And let people bite into it. I bet they'll bite into it for the Thorough.
I got you to bite into chicken. No, but I'm just saying. Hopefully there's a young black actor that is willing to bite through the prisons and the oppression and the restraints into true freedom. On a mainstream platform.
You know, that's some old bullshit. Say,
that's some good ass chicken.
Bullshit, deep.
And then that day, we will be like, we are free at last.
D is free.
Listen, anyway.
Go ahead.
I
know we've been beating this point down for two things. One is, I remember you telling me a story about whenever Popeye's chicken was on sale.
Uh-huh.
You would have to creep in there because you didn't want nobody seeing you buying the extra piece of chicken. Did I hear that right?
I don't remember this story. There was no shame in my Popeye's game. I might have told you that, and we were just talking about this earlier. We could open it up beyond chicken, but just some of these foods that are not good for you, they appeal to your budget. You know what I mean? Popeye's had that $5 box recently that I think everybody heard about. Of a certain economic means. McDonald's has this new 3 for $5 situation that me and Ali had just talked about. He had to pay 2 for $6 because he's in Manhattan.
and they don't really acknowledge bargains in Manhattan. You got to pay Manhattan tax when you come to Manhattan. You got to get, you know, but anywhere else in the world is two options for $5. So there's like a 20-piece chicken McNuggets with a Big Mac, only $5. Now, you know damn well you probably shouldn't be eating 10 pieces of chicken McNuggets and a Big Mac in one sitting. You know what I'm saying? Not often, but when that shit appealed to your budget, it's one of those things where you kind of, it's almost, well, what do you value more? Do you value your body or do you value your wallet? Now, your wallet, when your wallet reaches a little bit of failure, it's probably a little bit more immediate than when your body does at some point. But, because there's a motherfucker, there's a lot of motherfuckers, and I'm one of these people, there's a lot of people that, as you younger, you feel like, listen, I could eat this shit. It ain't gonna catch up to you. But at some point, I remember I was at this one chicken restaurant, right? I'm not even gonna say the name of it. Fuck, I mean, shit, I don't know. I was at this one chicken.
You're not free, D.
I'm not free.
Be free.
All right, I was at this chicken spot, Rudy's, in Houston. Now, Rudy's chicken is so fucking ridiculous that there's a line, like it's like four lines outside. There's two drive-in entrances. And then there's a line outside. The shit is ridiculous. It looks like a fucking movie premiere. It's just niggas outside. It looked like a Black Lives Matter rally. And all motherfuckers was out there waiting for was chicken. And when I was out there, there was this like two people who was full on in the throes of like diabetic trauma. Like this one chick had like 1 foot. You know what I'm saying? It was had some shit barely, like, was wild fat. Like, you know what I mean? You could tell, like, hypertension, like, some crazy shit. She bought wild chicken and limped off with the fuck. Like, and I see this, and I'm like, damn. This looked like I shouldn't be fucking with this fried chicken. But all of these people there were a testament to how good this chicken was, and the curiosity of me made me stay alive for about 30 fucking minutes. 30 minutes. When you stay alive for 30 minutes for chicken, you realize you like chicken a lot. One. And then two, you have some thoughts. You say, am I killing myself? You know what I'm saying? But if the price is good, It might be debatable.
And the price is always right.
But that's my thing. When you go to Popeyes, there's that shame and damn, I'm back at fucking Popeyes again. But I ain't got that much money. This Popeyes shit, I can get $5 on this Popeyes and I'll be good. The shit's gonna taste good. It might not be the most healthy shit, but it's the decision I might make.
I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying, especially like when you don't know a whole lot better, you know what I'm saying? You eat food that's good to you, that you've been eating for a long time. Like you say, it appealed to your budget. You know what I'm saying? If you in situations where your budget ain't right, you gonna eat. You got to eat.
Or what if you know better? And what if you can kind of do better, but you still don't do better just for the fact that it don't feel as urgent?
Well, I mean, it's times that you don't do better because it's right there. It's convenient. It's a motherfucking blizzard and the Chinaman gonna deliver that damn Chinese food quick as fuck.
Yeah.
So you gonna order that shit. You know what I'm saying? Egg Foo Young, General Souls, all that bullshit.
Uh-huh.
Cause it's right there, it's convenient and it's cheap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You on your money tight, you gonna go to, you know what I'm saying, Kennedy Fried Chicken. Get that 3-piece for $3.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you know, you live in a situation where those options surround you, you're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? You're going to do it, man. And then, you know, until you know better and do better, that's what it's going to be.
And there you go. I didn't think we was going to get this existential about chicken, but, you know, that's, I mean, what chicken will do to you.
We looking for chicken liberation, ain't we?
There it is. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for chicken liberation.
Hey guys, this is Chris, one of the producers here at Stand Up New York Labs, and I'm telling you to go check out our Instagram page, at Stand Up NY Labs. We're having a great time taking pictures of all the comics that come into the studio, recording podcasts, all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You're missing out if you're not following us. You can see pictures of Jared Fried, Mark Norman, Joe List, Kurt Metzger. Who doesn't need more pictures of Kurt Metzger in their life? Go check out our Instagram page, at Stand Up NY Labs. You're going to love it.
Oh, shit. Anyway, Vlad, what else is going on with you?
Memorial Day, man. How'd you guys spend it?
I ain't chilled. I ain't do too much. I just kicked it.
Oh, man, shit. We did it all the way.
All right. Well, you shot a, you was in a video, right?
Yeah, yeah. Friend of mine, Rachel Johnson, stylist. You know what I'm saying? You might know her from the Muhammad Holiday episode where I said we went to this birthday party and I met my wife.
Uh-huh.
It was Rachel's birthday party.
Okay.
And so this was her birthday. I think her birthday was Thursday, but Saturday she had an idea that she wanted to recreate the MC Lyte Paper Thin video.
Right.
And with them being, you know what I'm saying, stylist and, you know what I'm saying, very particular to the details, they went and got all of the costumes just how they were in the video.
Yeah.
They had the MC Lyte jacket made, you know what I'm saying? I was casted in the video in the role of the big bitch. So
what?
He won't do a chicken commercial though. What does that mean? Could you explain?
Now, in the video, MC Lyte had like a bodyguard type of person that was like with her, and it was in the video it was a girl, but we rebooted it.
Damn.
as a real dude.
The big bitch. Damn.
But in the jokes as they came to me asking would I do it, you know what I'm saying? The jokes was, oh, you want me to play the big bitch.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
The views and opinions now. Credit,
credits was Ali, the big bitch?
Yeah. Nah, ain't going to be no motherfucking credits. You're going to see it. It's going to look cool. That's what's going to happen.
Hilarious.
I'm free.
Hilarious. You know what I'm saying? But you was channeling the big bitch.
No, I was not. I wasn't channeling the big bitch at all.
Shout out to whoever really played that woman. God damn. Damn,
that now, speaking of which.
In the moment of homage.
Speaking of which.
Damn.
The dude who played the original Sam in the video.
Said.
Big said.
He was in it.
He came out and he did his part. Or he rebooted his part.
What happened to the big bitch? Nobody looked for her?
Listen, man, we ain't on that right now. We ain't on that.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? D-Nice came and played his original role.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? As the dude who cleaned up after Sam.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? But anyway, the shooting was cool. You know what I'm saying? We took over the L train Saturday morning. And then, but mostly it was just a wild out, good ass adventure. Like 20 motherfuckers mobbing through Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know what I'm saying? Having it, taking it back to Brooklyn. They shot other parts where they recreated, they did Big's verse from, the Benjamins.
Oh, okay.
So they, you know what I'm saying? They dressed the whole shit up as Puff and Big and did that whole shit. So
who played Big?
Rachel played Big.
Okay.
That's what she wanted for her birthday. She wanted to play Big.
Big and Lyte.
She played Lyte, she played Big.
Okay.
And then Samantha played Puff.
Okay.
They killed that shit though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I seen you the pictures.
I put the pictures up on
the conversation. They killed it though.
Yeah.
But even though it was like Rose Field Day, just, you know what I'm saying? Just a old New York adventure. A way to kick off the summer. It was dope, man.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Magical times.
There it is. How about that? Shout out to all the big bitches that listen to the podcast.
We ain't talking about the end of conversation, people, man. We talking about the role as I got it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
the role as I saw it on the motherfucking script.
Fuck it. Oh, man. What else is going on, man? Fucking Steph Curry with the shot.
Yeah, man, fuck Steph Curry.
Are you really on it like that, or you just? I thought this was a summer of love.
It is the summer of love. It is the summer of love.
So what's up, man?
And I would love to see goddamn Cleveland beat the brakes off of Golden State.
At this point, man, I still don't have no horse in the race. I would like to see LeBron get that Cleveland ring. You know what I mean? That would be cool. I kind of wanted to see Durant get a shot at a ring.
Right.
But I do feel like it showed, and I'm not no super sports fan, so jump out the comments right now, but it kind of showed there's a difference between LeBron and Steph and KD. You know what I mean? Like,
what's
KD, the closing, game 6 and game 7, it was just like, Steph turned up. Clay turned up
game 6. Clay turned up.
Klay definitely did his day game six, but Steph turned up last night. Last night he got busy.
He got busy, but he got busy after Klay had already kind of gave him a little room.
All right.
That's all. I mean, I ain't mad at the little fella. He good as fuck. He good as fuck.
He put him in the Peter Dinklage category.
Nah. I ain't doing all that. The man good. You know what I'm saying? What I really hate is I just hate what it represents. Cause just watching the games last year and how all of the bandwagon Warriors fans, like if you weren't from the Bay, nobody was claiming the Warriors.
True,
you
know what I'm
saying? So just to see all the fake ass Warrior fans come all out of the closet, and then in the game, like you know how when it's real fans, they gonna root for their squad all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, anytime the Warriors got down, mm-hmm. they was silent. It was, hush. And then as soon as they started doing some shit, it was like all of a sudden everybody, like, oh, you motherfuckers ain't shit.
Well, I'm not. I don't.
Millennial.
I'm never going to defend bandwagon fans. Even though I'm not a bandwagon fan, I'm just a sometimes fan. I jump in when this shit get exciting.
No doubt.
I will say
me
that.
Me too.
But I'll also say you can't take away the fact that kid is fucking.
I'm not exciting
to watch. Like that shit, it's undeniable. And it's like we were just talking about. There's certain shit that he does. It's just. He in the zone, right? Mm-hmm. It was like at the third, I think it was at the end of the third period last night, he hit like this fucking, he ran into traffic and threw up this like just Hail Mary ass
right.
Layup. Just as the buzz is going off, it goes in, it goes into the thing. It's just like you see how certain people have that montage of moments of right. greatness.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching them shits in real time, and it's hard to deny, like. Oh, this motherfucker is shooting from everywhere all over. He's doing this. He crossed KD, brought it to Russell. Like, after they did shit it all, this motherfucker is like shining.
He been shining.
And
he
not that
shining.
I'm a fan of Golden State, but when you see some great shit happening, it's like any type of other great TV. You like, yo, this shit pop. Are y'all watching this shit?
Nah.
I just want people to be aware of this shit. Man. Not to take nothing away from LeBron.
Nah, but see, this
it's gonna be interesting.
This is what I hate. I hate though, man. You know what I'm saying? Even when Jordan was out, you know what I'm saying? Jordan was killing shit and you was watching it as it was happening.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was just like now, in this particular age, you know what I'm saying? He is definitely good as fuck.
Right.
But the commentators can't even be motherfucking partial. The commentators just like fucking KD will come down, hit a 3-pointer. They'll show the replay from the Golden State last play.
Right.
You'll be like, come on, man. Like, hey, come on. Can we watch the game? Or right. What are we doing here?
We watching the Steph Curry show.
You know what I'm saying? It's the Steph Curry show. Like the commentators, that all they saying is, you know what I'm saying? Steph this, Golden State that.
Right.
Man, fuck out of here, man. I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what I'm saying? Like when Jordan was playing, at least the motherfucking.
They was talking about Jordan.
But no. The industry was. Come on, they was talking against him like, oh, he's a ball hog. The whole first probably 8-9 years, it was he's a ball hog. He's rebelling. They had to find him for the shoes. It wasn't all sweet.
But it was still all coverage. It was still all coverage. It was all coverage. It's a little different. He would still monopolize the coverage of what was going on. He would still get, it's like even with Trump.
But it would still be. The commentators that railed
against
him.
They wouldn't be
him.
On his dick.
It would be, you know what I'm saying, it would be some of the media that railed against him. Right. It wasn't, you know, unanimous, okay, we just going to all ride Jordan dick. It wasn't like that.
I agree. There was a collective. It sounded like last year, like niggas collectively jumped on Steph Curry's dick.
Exactly.
From LeBron's out of nowhere.
But even with LeBron, it was a contingency of a hate that went along with him. It wasn't.
He got way more slander than
than anybody.
Kevin Durant. Don't get the type of, and he's collapsed a couple times, and he don't get nowhere near the slander.
Nobody get no
guy.
Slander. LeBron gonna get slander. You gonna get the boos from the other crowd. Like it's a thing. Like it's a good little thing that's going on. Like it's a heated moment.
Well, we also Chris and I we were talking about this prior to you coming in. I do think that there's certain things that are projected onto both of them. You know what I mean? Like there's certain shit like LeBron. LeBron gets way more scrutiny than probably any player in the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's this like, I have to get all into some light skin, dark skin shit, but it is, there is a, like a narrative where it's like LeBron might come across way more aggressive than Steph Curry. We were talking about that. Whereas if you look at Steph Curry, he kind of looked like Richie Cunningham or something. He's a light skinned kid with light eyes or whatever. So they even
claim him as mixed raced.
Is he mixed race?
No.
He's just light skinned.
But it's a whole thread of them being mixed race.
And they play that up. I've looked at it. I was just paying attention. I'm like, the Currys, they angling to be the new Huxtables outside of the coffee drama.
But did you see what they did when Klay Thompson took over the game 6?
Nah, they made him the father. And
they put his face on their family picture.
Instead of Steph. I've seen him do that with Russ.
You should owe him some tonight.
Oh, wow.
It was terrible.
I ain't seen it. The memes are ridiculous. They go hard. But there's this wholesome shit that Steph Curry also plays up with the whole prayer and all of that.
I'm with all that.
You know what I mean? So he kind of lends himself to that image where LeBron, not to say that he deserve all the slander he get, but LeBron do wild shit like unfollow the Cavs on Twitter. Like for what? Why are you doing shit like that? Like, he'll do weird shit like that. I fuck with LeBron. I think LeBron, that motherfucker has been playing with so much expectation on his back, more than probably, I don't know. It hasn't been anybody that they've put that much hope or want on top of. Like, Steph don't even get it as much. You know what I mean? Like, even after 73-9, nobody was making that big a deal until, like, they started to come back. Nobody was making the bigger deal that you went 73-9, and if you don't get the chip, it don't really mean shit.
When they went down 3-1 in this series,
yeah,
the commentators was making excuses for him. Yeah. When he wasn't doing it, he was like, well, you know, Curry's not in 100%. We're like, oh, man, get the fuck out of here. When does that ever matter? You know what I'm saying? True. So, you know,
they say he's at 50% now. That's what they're saying. They said his knee is at 50%. He got to get some shit pulled out of his knee. You know what I'm saying? Dead ass. That's what they're telling you.
Yeah, but let Dwayne Wade be fucked up. Dwayne Wade is getting old. He might need to retire.
Get him out of here.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. It's just not a part, no partial coverage of the shit. It's just like the whole wave just washed onto the Oakland shores.
What's it feeling like out there in LA? I know it's not Oakland, but I know you might have some residual Bay Area people near you. What's the word out there? How's it being felt on your side?
Well, I'm trying to think if Steph Curry could pull off a fried chicken commercial.
I think he could.
he could pull off whatever right now.
There's some good
Riley
chicken.
Could do it.
Yeah.
I think that's how you do it, the youth. Anyway, go ahead. What's what you think? Where you at? Talk to us.
I'm not heavy into sports like that. So
I thought you fucked with basketball. I used to play ball. I thought you was into the ball shit.
Well, I left. My enthusiasm for basketball waned when Jordan retired. When Jordan left.
Okay,
I feel that.
That's what my enthusiasm. So I watch the game for the hang.
Okay.
If you call me and say, Vlad, I'm watching the game in the crib, and I'll fall through for the hang, you know?
Uh-huh.
You're a social sports fan.
Yeah, occasionally, I will say this, though. Occasionally, I will go on YouTube and I'll type in Steph Curry crossover or, you know, bone collector. I'm into watching highlights and especially crossovers. I love
seeing cats get humiliated.
There's a dude named Bone Collector that I follow on Instagram heavy.
Uh-huh.
And he posts videos of him just
crossing cats
destroying
up.
People, destroying people's ankles with no regard.
Ah, that's crazy. Shout out to my man Bonsu. He did a documentary on God Sham Guy. Remember God Sham Guy? Mm-hmm. He had a mean ass crossover.
When?
It's coming out.
They'd like to credit him as the, you know, creator, the founder of the crossover.
I don't know, that's
up for debate, but he's in that conversation.
He's definitely up there. But was it the Killer Crossover before Sham God or right around the same?
Sham God never went pro, so he had been around.
No, Sham God went pro. He went pro.
Where he played?
He played.
Did he
play for the Bucks? Play for the Bucks or some shit like that? What is God Sham God? I think he might have played for the Bucks or the Timberwolves or somewhere.
He did.
He went online. What I was going to say was, is it a 30 for 30, Damien?
Bullets.
No, it's like it's a mini doc. I'll get you some more information on it. I'll put it up on the Facebook fan page.
Because he was heavy in the hood, man, like at the summer tournaments?
Yeah, no, he was the shit. He was the shit. But I felt like Tim Hardaway predated him.
Okay.
I think so. I'll
be hearing shit in the air. I don't be knowing.
No, I know. That's why I don't know
where the chicken shit come from. Be in the air.
There you go. Well, go ahead, Vlad. What you said? So you've been watching like Bone Collector, Cross the Cats Up, and then what's up?
I'm into street ball, so you know I love on Instagram. I follow a couple of street ballings. Because when I was growing up, that was the thing, like the crossover and the tricks and the you know.
Yeah. You used to get the N1 tapes.
I used to sell the M1 tapes.
Oh shit!
Oh shit! You used to hustle them DVDs.
You was burning them and selling them, or you was like really like getting a connect.
I had a cat in New York.
Starting to sound shaky.
He had a stack of the M1 DVDs. He had like a whole box. And he gave me like 20 of them, and I was selling them on campus at Wesleyan.
He gave them to you on some his just 20 go promote, or he was like
he was like paid 20 for go promote.
And you was like, nah, nigga, I got to get paid.
$15 a pop.
I got that shit.
Well, according to the slight little research I'm doing,
okay,
Oscar Robertson was known to do the crossover in the 1960s.
Oh, shit, there you go.
As well as Dwayne Washington while playing for Syracuse in the 80s. Dwayne Washington.
Okay.
And then they say Tim Hardaway is credited for popularizing the killer crossover in the NBA.
Right.
And Allen Iverson popularized the double crossover.
Okay. And they put Shamgard on that.
They eliminated Shamgard in the history. Ah. You know how they do.
You know how I go.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think Shamgard was known for one particular move where he would lob the ball.
He'd do some crazy shit. Like, yeah.
Yeah, he would lob the ball in front of him, then he would yank it back with the other hand.
Yeah, he would embarrass the shit out of you.
It's like that shit Steph be doing, like lead the ball right there and move without it.
It's like a whip.
And then come back and get it.
And they also say that's the other kid, the other guy, I want to say Ginobili. They say Ginobili does that from the Spurs. They call it the whip. And I think that's what Shamgard, I forgot what he called it, but then they were saying it predates it. You got something on it, Chris?
I was just going to say, he played for the Washington Wizards. Was the team that he played for. Right. That's all I got.
And I want to say that Pistol Pete also
had a crossover.
Pistol was ahead of his time. I think he had a
Pistol.
He had a version of it that he did.
Hmm.
Not surprised.
Okay.
You're not surprised?
Yeah. No. Because I'm pretty sure it was Oscar Robertson. I think. He had his own
first. Oh shit, man! Right, it's out there. You know what I'm saying? Tim Hardaway popularized.
That's a lot of crap.
Shamgard had his version. AI, you know, of course, had his. So shit, you know.
Anyway.
What else is going on, man?
Shit! About time for us to transform and roll out. Unless you got something else you want to talk about?
Okay,
got
some, okay.
Oh, y'all want to? Unless y'all want to talk about your GOT and all that.
Oh yeah, well, you know, I got a couple of requests for the Game of Thrones conversation.
All right.
So this is a bonus if you're sticking around.
Okay, y'all.
I know Vlad, you had some.
I'm watching it intently, and you know, it's starting to get to the point for me. And listen, man, I'm gonna hang in there, but it's starting to get to the point where it's like, all right, can we just have the big war and figure out who's gonna take over the kingdoms? Like, it just feels like they're dragging this out now. It's becoming a season of like. It keeps going. I just want to be like, all right, you know, like I'm losing my investment. Let's get to the war.
Well, you might be in, you know, you know, they have no if there's somebody won the war and shit, you know, that'd be over. It's over. So you gotta stick around and see how.
But they're dragging this out. They're dragging this out, man.
No doubt. Go read the books and you can figure it out from there.
Well, no, I heard the book. I heard the series is going past the books now.
Okay, yeah, I heard he writing a new book. It just ain't out yet.
Yeah,
but I'm fucking enjoying this shit myself still. You know what I'm saying? Because you know the thing about it, even when it's slow, you still learning. You know what I'm saying? How the motherfuckers move and you know the philosophies of different ones. I'm into the brand story and shit with you know the whole with the you know with his warging and shit. You know what I'm saying? He's seeing the future in the past and all that shit.
Yeah.
The organ.
No. Warging.
Oh.
He's a warg.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he's warging.
So he could see, you know what I'm saying? And he had to learn a bunch of shit real fast. The three-eyed raven was trying to download all the information into his brain before the cold people came and killed him.
And he did he get all the information he needed?
Well, he's still getting it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He's still getting the information. So, you know, yeah, I mean, shit.
Shit.
You know, that was when, you know, they...
It's like selling the bread.
So you ain't like the Hold the Door episode for that?
You mean Hodor. Hodor.
Yeah, Hodor.
Hodor. No, yeah. I get it. It's just like they keep finding ways to
stretch it out.
That was a great episode.
They trying to make money.
It was a good episode. I'm missing that. They're good. They're good. They're definitely good. But it's like I'm getting to a point where I'm like, all right, man, let's culminate here, you know?
True. You're impatient.
I think Vlad getting the new mantle of not liking shit.
Yeah,
I think it's like, passed from me to Vlad. Vlad don't like a lot of
somebody
shit.
Somebody need to adopt the phrase, then. It's regular.
It's regular. Is it regular, Vlad?
We need to reboot the regular.
Is this season regular?
It's getting good. You know, it's getting good. They got the, you know, Brandon, I think his name is. He's becoming the war. You know, the three-eyed raven.
I mean, Sansa's about to get busy. You know what I'm saying?
Sansa just left. She has a marker on her head, too. She's about to get murked.
She ain't getting murked. She about to get busy.
We hope so.
It's her season. They already said it.
And then,
you know what I'm saying? She getting popular. You know what I'm saying? She got fans. She's a cute little girl. You know what I'm saying? She about to, you know what I'm saying, set it off. You know, it's her family need her. She holding it down.
And Sansa's doing her thing. You know, she got a little.
That's what I was talking about.
I was talking about the older sister.
Yeah, the older one.
Yeah. And then you got Jon Snow, who's supposed to, you know, rally the troops. And you got, you know, what's his name? Just sided with the religious group, the king.
Yeah, that shit's going to be weird. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Again, for me, I like the shit. I like what's going on. Little man didn't have no scenes this week, so you know what I'm saying?
You know, I actually watched The Station Agent. What's just because I've never seen, it's a movie with Peter Dinklage and Bobby Cannavale. Uh-huh. And I like Bobby Cannavale, but I know you fuck with Peter Dinklage just acting, but I know there's some animosity.
No animosity. This is a social dynamic that we need to handle.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Upon sight.
It's a long way.
I got a couple of situations I need to handle on sight.
Okay. All right, so y'all have a bit of a conflict going on. But I wanted to see what because I haven't jumped into Game of Thrones, and I was like, let me see how this guy is as an actor. I watched The Station Agent, and people say how good that was. That shit was boring in the motherfucking nigga. He was so funky, man. I was trying to stick with it. It just was one of the meandering-ass movies. Man, I was just too tired. True. I fucked with Bobby Cannavale. He was cool, Peter Dinklage, you know, but he was a dwarf or midget or dwarf, whatever.
A little person.
No, they called him all of that in the thing. Like,
in the movie,
kids,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you're
yeah,
a midget. It's, so it's like, you know, he had to deal with that again. And,
but
I don't know.
Saw X-Men?
Nah, I didn't see that shit.
You saw X-Men
the new one that just came out?
Yeah, Apocalypse.
Nah, I didn't see that.
Well, we'll catch up.
I think it's time for us to get out of here.
Yeah, we're going to be out. So y'all be watching shit. You ain't doing shit.
Yeah, we at, man. Yeah.
In the meantime, where you going to be, D?
Where am I going to be? Vlad, where you going to be at, man?
I will be this week. I'm in Los Angeles. I got a fundraiser tonight, and then I'm going to be at the Hollywood Improv on Thursday night. And the UCB Theater on Thursday night. And then I think I'm at the Comedy Magic Club this weekend.
Oh, shit. Where you at, Muhammad?
Oh, man, I'm in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. I'm running through the city. I'm participating in this whole Summer of Love movement.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Dropping these shows.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Catch me on Thorough TV, Thorotv on the snap.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We out here.
I hear that shit. I'm at the Stand tonight. Check it out, the 10 o'clock show. I'm also at Stand Up New York on Thursday and at the Stand. I think that's the 8 o'clock and the 10 o'clock, Stand Up New York, the Stand. And then Friday, I'm at the Onion AV Comedy Festival in Chicago. I'll be performing with Cameron Esposito at the Lincoln Hall Theater. Tickets are still available now. Go on my Facebook, my Twitter. I just put the link out. Cop some tickets. I'm going to be out there having a good time in Chicago. And then I'll be back next week to jump back in this conversation. But as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
We out.
It all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts.